Please remain standing as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you for protecting us and providing safe passage through the storm so that we may worship you this morning. We praise you for your presence in our lives. We stand before you in total surrender and complete dependence. Your name is above every name. May you open our ears to hear from you and our hearts to receive from you today. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You rule over all nations. We look forward to worship you in eternity. Your throne will be surrounded by people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, all testifying of your immeasurable love. With each passing year, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness from generation to generation. And now at the start of the new year, 2024, we eagerly pray and trust in your sovereign and mighty hand to lead our church forward. May your will be done in our lives. Please fill our hearts, minds, and soul with your abundance and transform us to be more like you. Make us a new creation, set us apart, and make us holy so that we may live for your glory. Please cleanse our sins and make us worthy in your sight. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we pray for the needs of brothers and sisters who are struggling with failing health and going through unexpected challenges. We continue to trust you for healing and recovery, for rest and strength. Thank you for renewing our daily hope and courage. Please provide direction, discernment, and jobs. We ask for your comfort and assurance in your love. We gratefully celebrate our unity in Christ and with one another in the Holy Communion this morning. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Today's scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 17 to chapter 6, verse 2. We will read from the New International Version, 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 6:2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. I'm Pastor Sandy, and our junior high worship and I are delighted to join you in the English congregation worship and communion today. New Year is a hopeful time for a fresh start. It's a time of new beginnings, to give up bad habits, unpleasant memories, and heal old wounds, and then to pursue new, deeper relationships, a healthier self, and a brighter future. Out with the old, in with the new. Many people take small actions for significant changes through resolutions. eat healthy, drink water, lose weight, get fit, take a trip, less screen time, spend less, study more, sleep well, be generous, help others. I can't disagree. These are all good steps towards becoming the new, improved you. Now, how does God desire for you to live out the new you in 2024? Small actions of faith today can change the trajectory of people's lives tomorrow. I praise God for teens who have set an example to me despite being young. I think of a busy high school guy who felt God's prompting to tutor some Chinatown immigrant kids 2 days a week after school. After his Ivy League education, he turned down lucrative jobs to instead teach inner city kids. He signed on with Teach America because he sensed God was calling him to inspire hope and a future to those lives. I think of a ninth grade girl who felt a calling to pray for her peers at school, asking them, "How can I pray for you?" With her parents' support, she invited other students to their home to hold prayer groups. When I dropped by from time to time, there were about 35 students gathering together to seek God. Today, she is an ordained pastor, helping the underserved and the homeless community. Perhaps if they never responded to the Holy Spirit when they were young, they might miss their purpose later. In Christ, is God calling you in 2024 with your new creation identity for a new life purpose? God has brought you here today for his purpose, and I pray that he will give you a fresh perspective of the new you. I sense that some of you may be feeling a little worn and torn by hardships and stress and need God to show up right now, today. May he fill your empty tank with new hope and abiding love. Some of you may feel a little bit lost right now and looking for your purpose. May he renew you to embrace your identity in Christ and realign your life with his purpose for you. He calls his people to greater things. Our scripture says today, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Now, some of us have a picture in our homes, in a picture frame containing a progression of school pictures from preschool, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, all the way to 12th grade senior portraits. We may look and kind of laugh at ourselves, how our smile had changed before and after braces, glasses to contacts, embarrassing haircuts, and even zits. But praise God, we made it through. And in most cases, we can observe small, gradual changes from year to year. But we still recognize who is in the photos. But the newness that Paul talks about is radical spiritual transformation. A new creation is as profound as a metamorphosis, where we can't believe the before and after transformation is the same creature. From an egg into a crawling fuzzy caterpillar in the larval stage, into the pupa chrysalis stage, and finally becoming a beautiful winged butterfly that can fly. This is one of the most amazing transformations in the natural world. But if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. You are radically new. Everything has changed. You no longer live for you. You now live for Christ. The changes are not incremental. The change is remarkable. The difference is night and day. No longer do we live according to the flesh. You live and belong to Christ. No longer spiritually dead. You are alive in Christ and united with Christ. No longer a slave to sin. You are now free from the grip of sin and addiction. No longer an enemy of God. You are now a child of God. No longer condemned. You are justified by grace and now have a clean slate. When you place your trust in Jesus, you become a brand new person. In Christ, you are a new creation with a new identity. You no longer live in the pattern of the old you. You no longer live according to the flesh. In our old self, we may try to define our identity by those usual categories, tall versus short, conservative versus progressive, Asian versus American, male versus female, young versus old, married versus single, Jewish versus Gentile, educated versus illiterate, wealthy versus poor, and so on. Our sinful human inclination is to stick to our own and maintain those barriers that separate us. But in Christ, we have a primary new identity and relationship with God. With this new perspective as a new creation, therefore our hostility towards God and also towards others is exchanged for love. There is a new motivation to live for Jesus with a new hope and new strength. If you are in Christ, first of all, you are a new creation. What does a new creation look like before and after? Now, not every case is an extreme makeover, but the Apostle Paul's conversion, the one who wrote this chapter, he was a major example of an extreme makeover. In junior high worship, we preached through the entire book of Acts in 2022, from beginning to end. And we witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit building up the early church. We saw God change many lives, looking for now what is our purpose as junior high, as a church. There is hardly a better example of a remarkable transformation than Paul himself. He personally experienced that the old has gone and the new has come. He was reconciled to God in a huge way, and as a result, he was also reconciled to the Christians. He went through a spiritual metamorphosis. He would, what I would call, a super terrorist and persecutor as Saul, and became the super apostle as Paul. His transformation was radical. He himself is a new creation. He found his new identity, and Paul found his new you when he was transformed in Christ. Recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 9, let me give you some sound bites of that chapter, starting with verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for the letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul was hunting down Christians to expose them and then persecute them and kill them. He was there to approve the stoning of Stephen. Verse 3, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, And suddenly a light from the heaven shone around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Saul was blinded by the light. His face-to-face encounter with the resurrected Jesus brought him to surrender and repentance. Verse 19, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." What a different man. And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name?" Saul was living to annihilate Christians, the early disciples of Jesus, and he ended up living to preach boldly that Jesus is the Son of God and evangelize the Jews. He became a new believer, a new creation, a strong advocate for Christ, a new you. But it didn't mean that the Christians trusted him initially. And when he had come, verse 26, to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He met the Lord Jesus, experienced forgiveness for persecuting Christians. They didn't trust him. They didn't like him because he was a terrorist to them, until they witnessed his change and recognized that he was spirit-filled as an apostle. God had more for him to be and to do. What is also the new you? Secondly, you have a life purpose. You have a new life purpose. The Holy Spirit gives us a new life purpose, a new calling. And then we learned in Acts chapter 13, we discovered that actually there was no church in Corinth. There were no Christians. There were no churches in Macedonia until God set aside and sent a few men there from Antioch. The Antioch church was a healthy church with praying and worshipful prophets and teachers. Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul at that time, were set apart and sent away for a new purpose, a life purpose. A church that worships the Lord, a church that prays and fasts, a church who loves people one person at a time by accepting even the most unlikable people and helping them to grow to become amazing disciples of Jesus. Now that's a good church, and you should stay with that kind of a church. It would be tempting to enjoy the fellowship, though, and remain as a happy huddle. Yet God has a greater purpose. He will set apart and send some out for the ministry of reconciliation abroad. The Antioch church, as we can see in the map, the yellow dot, was home base. It must have been a great church, the kind of community no one would choose to leave. After all, they had Barnabas. This man was an encourager. But the Holy Spirit selected Barnabas and Saul and called them to go to the peoples where the gospel has not gone yet. Corinth, at the red dot, and the entire Macedonian region had no believers and no church. So God sent a few from the Antioch church on a mission to preach the gospel, make disciples, represent Jesus Christ like ambassadors, and plant churches. God did not send them all out, however. Most of them stayed in Antioch. In Christ, most stayed to do the gospel work at home base as their life purpose. But no one in Christ was idle. No one in Christ did nothing. But they sent, they supported, and they prayed for the ones that they sent. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation and you have a new life purpose. And this was not Paul's brilliant idea. It was the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:18 in our text today. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. To reconcile means to exchange a hostility for a friendly relationship. When people experience conflicts and the parties are not speaking to one another, efforts need to be made to bring them together to heal the broken relationship. It may involve clearing up misunderstandings. It may involve confessing and forgiving grievous sins or addictions. An estranged, sinful mankind is eternally separated from a holy God. There is a spiritual chasm, an eternal separation that needs to be reconciled. Because of our sins, we have become enemies of God. But because of the cross of Jesus, Christ has offered amnesty. And God will not count the sins of the reconciled against them, as though they had never sinned. His wrath is completely satisfied by his grace. But there are over 2 billion people in the world today who are unaware of their eternal separation, completely unaware, who have never heard the name of Jesus and the good news of reconciliation. 2 billion people. Unless those who are in Christ fulfills God's goal to reach all the nations, reconciling the world to himself. In Christ, God is calling every believer, not just a few, into a new trajectory, into a new life purpose. To be global ambassadors for Christ. We represent and we live for Jesus Christ. In Christ, we make disciples and share the gospel at home base, in central New Jersey, at your schools, at your jobs, and your neighborhoods. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, we are called to share the gospel, do the ministry of reconciliation, and make disciples. Lost people have a range of access to the gospel. Those who live near Christians and churches and Bibles and pastors and missionaries, they have a good chance to hear the gospel. But those who live amidst the unreached people groups, the UPGs, where there are less than 2% believers, have little or no chance to be reconciled to God. And so today, consider a country like Turkey. At the intersection of three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, Istanbul Airport is one of the busiest in the world. One of the best airports in the world. Seeing every kind of person, every kind of outfit, whatever religion, they walk through the hallways. There is a population of 84 million people in this country, with 99.8% adhering to Islam. 99.8% are Muslim. And the rest of the 0.2% include all other religions. So the latest estimates right now, depending on who you ask, there are perhaps 7,000 evangelical Christians, Protestant Christians, amidst 84 million people. Just a drop in the bucket. No, just a drop in the barrel. No, just a drop in the ocean. There might be more Christians in my neighborhood in suburban America than in all of Turkey of 84 million people. Now, I have to admit that Turkey used to be just a connection airport to me. But when we realize the mission opportunity there, it's catching some increased attention in our church at RCCC among brothers and sisters who have gone on short-term trips and vision trips there, and even suggesting the possibility of church planting. RCCC, we need to pray and to fast. Lord, will the Holy Spirit set apart a team and send more among us to be long-term ambassadors to that country? Not only in Turkey, but also other desperately unreached people's groups. So this morning, I want to urge you in two ways. Number one, I implore you on Christ's behalf today, be reconciled to God. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You have been reconciled to God. You are no longer an enemy of God. You have received friendship with God. But if you have never found peace with God and you are not in Christ yet, I invite you, I urge you, I implore you to put your faith in Jesus today. We implore everyone to be reconciled with God. We tend to say and think there is no rush. Mañana, mañana. But the scripture says today, ahora, ahora. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Wait no longer. You've been in church since you were born. Wait no longer. Be reconciled to God. If you would like to begin this new year as a new you, as a new creation, I urge you to do something today. Visit our gospel talk or talk to your youth counselor or pastors to properly do so. Secondly, I also urge you, as God's co-workers, I urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We who are in Christ have a purpose to live out. We are global ambassadors for Christ. God has given a new calling to every believer of Jesus and a new life purpose to share the message and ministry of reconciliation throughout the world. We can start in central New Jersey, and some of us will be sent beyond to the utter ends of the world. When we live in a world where 2 billion people have little or no chance to ever hear the gospel, unless we who are in Christ live out our new identity and our new life purpose as ambassadors for Christ in the ministry of reconciliation, we live out his priority, not my simple priority, but live out God's priority to reach the nations, all nations, reconciling the world to himself. Here in central New Jersey, there across the oceans, and everywhere on this globe. Let's get busy as God's people. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace that we have received. In Christ, we were made new. Stir up your church, no matter how old or young, to effectively live out our life purpose for your glory. We exalt you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we will enter a time for communion.